둘, 셋, 파!
For Hey Army and fellow music fans, I'm Kayla.
And I'm Bethany, and we're the hosts of Standing BTS from the Consequence Podcast Network. We're a bi-weekly show that covers the impact and legacy of K-pop group BTS.
We mix the perfect blend of research and fangirl as we take a deep dive into lyrics during album reviews, theorize over music videos, and keep up with their current events.
No BTS topic is off limits. We welcome everyone into the conversation, whether you're a casual fan, committed ARMY, or someone who's just curious about one of the biggest music groups in the world.
Come chat with us every other Thursday with a new episode wherever podcasts are found.
Welcome to the In Defense of Ska podcast.
There's a lot of like, okay, well, you like ska, name three bands that aren't the Boss Tones.
I'm your host, Aaron Carnes, music journalist and author of the book In Defense of Ska.
And I'm your co-host, Adam Davis, veteran ska musician from the bands Omnigon and Link 8.
On our show, we aim to push back on the mainstream's negative perception of ska music.
There are so many great untold stories throughout the history of ska. The show features interviews with everyone from the Mighty Mighty Boss Tones to Fishbone, Fall Out Boy singer Patrick Stump, and the Police drummer Stuart Copeland. Join us on In Defense of Ska from the Consequence Podcast Network.
It's easy to hear your favorite artist on WFPK from wherever you are. Listen on your smart speaker, live stream from our website at WFPK.org from Louisville Public Media.
Consequence Podcast Network.
Hey, welcome to another edition of Kyle Meredith With. It's the interview series presented by WFPK at WFPK.org, Consequence, and the Consequence Podcast Network. Thanks, as always, for making your way here, for checking out the episode. Please do hit that subscribe button while you're hanging around. That way you can keep up with all the interviews that I send your way. In fact, you'll get three new ones every single week, a new one every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, so you can keep up with your favorite artists and discover those new ones at Spotify, Apple Podcast, NPR, WFPK.org, Consequence, YouTube for the video versions, or anywhere you get your podcasts from. You can subscribe to Kyle Meredith With. Don't forget to also give the series a rating. Leave a review if you feel so inspired. I promise it always helps out so much. And we've had some great guests on lately, including Sal Vulcano from Impractical Jokers, Brandi Carlile, Ani DeFranco, Maya Hawk, Caleb Followell of Kings of Leon, Tadanobu Asano from Shogun, Carl Clemens Hopkins from Hacks, Joe Talbot of Idols, the cast of The Big Cigar, comedian Modi, Tom Bailey from Thompson Twins, Joe Gatto, Grace Cummings, Sebastian Bach, just an example of what you get when you subscribe to the Kyle Meredith With podcast. And that's me, Kyle Meredith, today catching up with Carly Pierce. Just about a year ago that she and I was talking about her single, brand new at that time, called We Don't Fight Anymore with Chris Stapleton. Well, that single was the first single to the just-released album Hummingbird. It's been a year in the incubator, and so we're going to dig into this album. She's going to tell us about wanting to make the record as impactful as her previous one, 29 Written in Stone, having fun while writing about a woman done wrong, and being a country music connoisseur. In fact, Carly reveals just how much Loretta Lynn continues to be a guiding light for her songwriting, as well as what it means to be a country artist in 2024, especially when artists like Beyoncé and Post Malone are knocking on the door of the genre. Carly's going to go on to discuss her partnerships with Shane McNally, Josh Osborne, Jordan Reynolds, which of her new songs reminds her of No Doubt, and how she came to cover Faith Hill as the opener of Tim McGraw's latest tour. All that and more as we talk Hummingbird. It's Kyle Meredith with Carly Pierce.
Hi.
It's great to see you again. We talked, I feel like just about a year ago, somewhere around a year ago, when We Don't Fight was just coming out. And now, finally, a year later, you've got this record. Congratulations. I love this album so much.
Thank you. Yeah, it's been 3 years almost since I put out a full studio album, which seems crazy. But I just wanted to make sure I got it right. So I am just really, really excited to get this new album out.
So let's hear about that, getting it right. Like, there seems to be, not a theme per se, but there seems to be a narrative on this record. There's definitely a sound. I mean, there's these nostalgic moments that takes me back to some of my favorite albums of the 90s and sometimes even before that. but it doesn't feel like a nostalgic album at the same time. Like, what did it mean to get this album right?
Well, I think I had no idea the way that 29 Written in Stone was going to be perceived. And quite honestly, I wanted to make sure that I made an album that was equally as impactful, which I think you can get, you know, if artists are honest with themselves, when you have a highly successful album, you can be nervous of what comes next. And so, thankfully I wasn't going through all of the craziness of my last album, but I just wanted to make sure I took the time to make sure that the production was right. This is the first time that I'm a co-producer on an album. I wanted to really lean heavily into all of kind of the sounds and just overall artistic vision that I took with 29 and just go even farther. And I wanted to make sure that, you know, you kind of got a whole broad spectrum of what's been going on in my life over the last few years. And this album is just really what my healing journey has been over the last few years. And just naming it Hummingbird was the only way that I felt like I could name it, because people say that hummingbirds are a sign that the healing process can begin and that good luck is on the way. And I feel like that's been the season of life that I have been in. I felt so much good luck and good on my side of going through a hard time, and wanted to celebrate that.
Because once we get past that first song, which, you know, country music made me do it, I want to come back to that one. That's such a fun song. But that was my first thought. Like, you know, our narrator does not seem to be in a great place in a lot of these songs, relationship wise. Maybe until later on in the album, what fault line or no trust issues. I feel like it starts coming back around again. Like, when you're thinking about the record, does the theme find you in that way? Does having a narrative, is that helpful? Is that a hindrance? Do you have to stick to it once you notice it?
I actually didn't come up with the album title until the very end. So I kind of don't put myself in a box. I just go and I write the stories. And you know, I think relationships are a big topic of everybody's life. And on this record, there's a lot of different fun. I got to have fun on this record, which I really didn't feel like I was having a lot of fun on 29. But this record, you know, it doesn't have a lot of love songs on it, but I've never been a girl that sang a lot of love songs. So this is really no different for me. But I feel like subject wise, this album kind of wrote itself. And then I kind of had to depict what did it mean? And it felt very much like, although no, I'm not like, yay, and everything is great, and love is here, and yada, yada, I am in such a better place. And I feel like kind of the overall theme of some of those more heartbreaking songs on the album, there's still a sense of confidence there that I feel like in 29 there wasn't. There's kind of just this understanding of relationships that haven't worked out and why they didn't, and just kind of that maturity that comes with life experience.
Yeah, those heartbreak songs, as you say, they are still fun. They're fun to hear. They're fun musically. They're fun what you're doing with the lyrics and your voice. And as I was mentioning with the first song, too, I thought some of the moments when you seem happiest is maybe when you're referencing the songs that make you feel sad, as country music tends to do. But I love that you started out with that one. I know that song's been out a little while, but, you know, hearing you in interviews, like, you're a connoisseur. I think we talked about this a little bit last time. Like, you are a connoisseur, like a country music historian. Does yeah. that ever get in the way, though? Like, the amount of music that, you know, I was barely a musician for a little bit of time. And what I would always get was like, no, that already sounds like this. I can't do that. I always let it get in my way. It didn't feel like it gets in your way, though.
No, I feel like it has inspired me. So Country Music Made Me Do It is kind of, I wanted to open the record with that song because it feels anthemic. And I do feel like country music has been the soundtrack to so many people's lives, especially, you know, mine, of course. And I think it's kind of my tongue-in-cheek way of letting everybody know, like, I'm okay. We're good. Everything's fine. We can poke fun at the things that have happened in my life. I'm sure you can poke fun at the things in your life. And I feel like what the artists that have come before me do for me is they inspire me to just be unapologetically myself. So I feel like this song, you know, there are lines in it where you're like, did she just say that? Is that really? And, you know, it's just kind of like owning your story and the stupid things in life that have happened to you and the smart things that have happened. And yeah, I, especially like when I write songs, I think a lot about Loretta Lynn and the way that she wrote music and the way that she just didn't really care if it was politically correct or if it was, you know, the cool thing to do or what a Southern woman should do. And I feel like I'm kind of this generation's like, I'm gonna tell you what's happened to me and you can take it or leave it, but that's my story and I'm sticking to it.
Well, seeing the way people even just instantly, really. I know you've been posting, especially with their music back on TikTok. You've been posting some of these people.
Yeah.
And I should sidebar while we're here for a second. Like, that's a big deal, I would imagine, right?
To have your music back on TikTok, for sure. I mean, TikTok is kind of the place where I feel like music is being discovered and being, I see such a big effect of having your music on that platform, and to not have it on there is hard. So I was very grateful to whoever figured it out right as my album is about to launch.
Perfect timing on all
Yes.
of that. And we'll be right back right after this. Welcome back. It's Kyle Meredith with Carly Pierce.
Well, I do love that country music movie. It does, as you were saying, it's like a love letter and a statement to get started and the fun in it. I was when you said to, you bring up the line three chords and the truth. Of course, I went, wait, I think this song is more than three chords, though.
It's definitely more than three chords.
But I still understand the message that was.
Yes.
But I guess I'm jumping off of something else you brought up. Like, what does it mean to be country in 2024? Because every genre is splintered, and it used to be the t-shirt we wore was our identity. And I don't feel that as much, but at the same time, and I know I'm repeating myself, but when I listen to this record, I feel country music in ways that I haven't in a long time.
Well, that's very nice, and I appreciate that. When I even feel like when I was making the 29 record, it was a bit of almost like a scary thing to make a record that country, which sounds so stupid. I've been told for so long, like, you're too country, or you sound dated, or all of these different things until I started making music. But I felt for a long time like I was one of the only ones that was really making country music. And so now you're seeing so many people making incredible country music. Like, I mean, just off the top of my head, Lainey Wilson, Cody Johnson. I feel like Ernest is putting out songs that remind me of like the country classics. Country's, as you know, it's the coolest thing right now, as Lainey says, country's cool again. But that's a really fun place to be in. I feel like people want to hear that really authentic sound, and that fires me up for sure because that's the kind of music that I always wanted to make, and it allows me to write and record songs like Fault Line that really, or Still Blue, that have that kind of classic sound to them. But it, I know that there's a bigger place for it now because people really are gravitate. You see other big Post Malone coming, Beyonce, like wanting to be a part of our genre.
Yeah, that's what in of course Stapleton and Isbell. You Still Blue, Natalie Himby, but she was one of the co-writers in that, right?
Yes.
Just talk about amazing songwriters right there. I love seeing what she's done too. I mean,
She's
that's
incredible. She's one of my favorite people in general and just an amazing artist in her own right.
and one of the great things about the best country songs is what do you say? It's that turn of phrase. Heels overhead. My favorite, I think, that I've heard is I'm in Oklahoma, but I'm not okay. I got
Yeah.
that lyric right. Like, how often are you searching for that phrase, like that type of thing?
I mean, if you listen to my music, probably a lot, because you have, you know, the play on woman to woman. You have the play of I'm not okay, rock, paper, scissors, what that means in the song, truck on fire. That's the fun of songwriting to me. And when you find or flipping the phrase trust issues into a love song, that's the fun when you can find moments like that. And I love a good play on words. And it gives just like this fun, poetic way of songwriting to me that just feels so difficult yet not, if that makes sense. Like, and I think I've been inspired just in the last few years, like by songs like Girl Crush, where you're like, how has that phrase never been spun to mean that? And that's just when you find those little gems, it's really inspiring in the writing room.
Yeah, are you the type that waits for the writing room? Or are you the type that when you hear that out, you're like, wait a second, stop. I've got to get this down.
I mean, I feel like it's all writing songs is always kind of like a thing that you might take notes, you might hear something, you might be listening to somebody, you might come up with it in the writing room. Somebody else in the room, one of your co-writers, Shane McAnally is the one that said, I might be in Oklahoma, but I'm not okay. Like, I will not take that credit ever. But then when that's the beauty of also co-writing is like your friends, because everybody on this record, they're my friends, and they know who I am as an artist. They know what I want to say, and they're able to kind of take their own unique perspectives, and then kind of we build off of that, which feels super authentic to me and also just inspiring for the room to have a great idea. Because if you have a great idea, it doesn't take much time to write songs.
I now want to go through every state initials and figure out if there's another phrase in any of
them. Yes, right.
It could be somewhere. And we do see, you know, some of those names that you mentioned several times. I mean, throughout the record with Shane McAnally, Josh Osborne, Jordan Reynolds. I don't know if you can say anything specific about them, but what is it about your relationship that works so, like, why did those work so well specifically?
I would say Shane and Josh, they love the same kind of country music that I do. Shane, somewhere in a past life, was a female 90s country singer, I'm telling you. His heart is for Patti Loveless and Leanne Womack and these artists that just make my soul so full. And Josh is from Kentucky as well. And so he's an incredible songwriter. And he also just has an amazing melodic sense that really matches me. He's the only voice on my entire record. He was the only voice other than myself on the 29 record, other than our features, because he's just, his voice is so special and it has that mountain sound to it. So we just connect in that way. And then Jordan Reynolds has been my friend for years. And what's funny about Jordan, he had his first three singles to country radio were Tequila, Speechless, and 10,000 Hours. Yeah. So you look at that side of country music, I could not be farther from that pop heavy Dan and Shay sound, but he is such an incredible musician and singer and just vibe. He does a lot of the demos and we always end up just mimicking what Jordan does because he's so musical and he's such a chameleon that can go from a write with me into a write with Dan and Shay and equally have the artistry be shown for each artist, which you wait for those types of thirds or, you know, co-writers in the room that just bring that vibe.
This crazy talent.
Yeah.
What all of that is. And we'll be right back right after this. Welcome back. It's Kyle Meredith with Carly Pierce. Woman to Woman, the sound of that song, I'm hoping you can help me out here because I can't put, like, what is the sound? It's not a Cajun song, but it makes me think of Cajun and like French music, if that makes sense.
It makes me, this is so weird, but when the drum beat happens, which was totally Aaron Sterling in the studio, he's amazing. It has like a ska feel to me, like No Doubt. And I know that's so weird because how is that a part of, it's almost like if early Miranda Lambert and No Doubt like had a baby. How stupid is that? But do you know what I mean? That like, it's the upbeat of the drum and it's just cool. And we actually just rehearsed it for the first time. And I was like, this is going to be, I just feel like this record is allowing me to have, and I don't know how to say this any other way. Like, I know I sing the heartbreak songs, but like, I've got some bangers now.
Well, that's it. Like, do you think like, is every song meant to go on tour?
No, but I've kind of built a career on ballads. So it's interesting when you're coming to my show, I've learned over the last 8 years, everybody will listen to ballad after ballad with me and go right with me. But I think Charles Kelly, he and I wrote Truck on Fire together. And he was telling me, because we have a lot of similarities, I feel like, as far as loving, like Lady A had built their careers on songs like Need You Now. But they also had this other lane with Bartender and some of these other songs. And he was like, you will learn, like, you need both to put on a live show. And he's so right. And so I feel like this is the first, not to say I haven't had tempo songs, but this record, I feel like there's a lot of them that will really play to the whole grand scheme of building out a live show now with four albums.
Yeah, I was watching somebody YouTube 20-year-old shows recently. Maybe Canada, maybe man, you were recently, but it was noticeable anyway. It really was because these new songs, the way they're placed, you know, for a lot of time, like, all right, here comes the new song, and everybody goes, I'm going to the bathroom. It's just that the new songs happens to be Truck on Fire. You know, it happens, or even when you throw in a cover or something like that, like no one leaves. What a great trick that you might have accidentally just pulled off. That's
I like it. I love it. Let's keep that going.
Which, and you know, and speaking of covers, you've been doing a Let's Go to Vegas for a little while. You do Let's Go to Vegas while opening up for Tim McGraw. What's that kind of like? Do you ask permission or do you just say, like, by the way, this is what I'm doing?
You know what's really funny about that? My dad had that idea. He was like, I think you should cover a Faith Hill song. And at first I was like, I don't think I can do that. And then I thought, that's the smartest idea you've ever had in your life. And I started thinking about just people have compared me to Faith Hill my whole life. And so I was like, I love her music and it feels very authentic to me. But also, you know, a lot of Tim's show is kind of images of Faith. And, you know, everybody in that building loves their love. And so to have somebody from my generation of country music paying tribute to one of the greatest females of our genre who happened to be married to Tim McGraw. He loved it and he loves it. And she comes out and watches me and sings like along with me. And it's a very crazy full circle moment for me, but a great idea from my dad.
Nicely done. And it, what you even said is like when you think of Tim, you think of Faith.
Yes, you
Like
do.
that's.
It's like Tim and Faith.
So those are the opening shows. I mean, I'm assuming there's going to be headline shows as well, which is going to be a bigger set, right? Like how much difference now, as opposed to the tours before, are we going to see because of, you know, this new energy that you have?
I think I know I've played at this point the majority of every stadium across America, every arena, and a lot of the theaters. And I think that what I want to cultivate for playing the Hummingbird album is just I love storytelling. I love the musicality of my band and the way that my records sound. My favorite shows to go watch are people like Chris Stapleton or Nickel Creek or Alison Krauss, where it is truly built around the music. So I think more than ever, you will see that about me. And we're just kind of starting to get into the kind of like logistics and big ideas of, you know, I think people come to, I think everybody in our format and just in music in general, like you're coming to see something. Now, I feel like, you know, you're going to see Adele because she's an amazing singer, but you're probably going to see, I don't know, somebody else for the theatrics and the singing, like Pink or something. But for me, I really know that my fans come to hear my stories and to hear me sing.
I love that. I do. And that's all of my favorite artists. You know, they've got that about them.
Yeah.
I seriously do mean this. Hummingbird is such a good record. And I don't mind saying it's your best record. And that's a hard thing to do for anybody to pull that off.
Thank you. I feel like it is. You know, 29 will always be very special to me, but I'm really proud of this one and proud of the way that we kind of took a step out of that season.
Well, I'll be looking forward to seeing these songs live too. Carly, it's great to catch up with you again. Thank you so much for taking the time.
Thanks for having me.
My thanks to Carly. The new album is called Hummingbird. Thanks to you for checking out the episode. Before you leave, hit that subscribe button so I can send you all my interviews just like this one every single week, new and every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. Spotify, Apple Podcast, NPR, WFPK.org. Consequence, YouTube for the video versions, or anywhere you get your podcast from, you can subscribe to Kyle Meredith with. And of course, please do leave a review and give the show a rating while you're there as well. After all that, head over to WFPK.org. That's right. Do a show Monday through Friday, starts at 6 p.m. Eastern. You get 4 hours of classics from the 80s and 90s. You get the best in new music. There are bonus interviews, lots of music news as well. One of my recent shows featured some classics and favorites from Graham Parsons, The Rolling Stones, The Gaslight Anthem, Big Audio Dynamite, New Order, Don Landis, Bjork, Elvis Costello, Fleetwood Mac, Citizen King, U2, Blondshell, Warpaint, Tom Petty, Katie Lang, Michael Franti and Spearhead, Gomez, The Decemberists, The Black Keys, Big Thief, Joe Strummer, Joy Aledekin, and my interview with Dave Wakeling of The English Beat. Just an example of what you can hear every weeknight starting at 6 p.m. Eastern at WFPK.org. Consequence has your music and film news. You can also find me on any of the social media sites. The address is always the same. It's at Kyle Meredith. And I do hope you like and follow along. And that does it for another edition of Kyle Meredith. I'll see you next time.
Consequence Podcast Network.
It's easy to hear your favorite artist on WFPK from wherever you are. Listen on your smart speaker, live stream from our website at WFPK.org from Louisville Public Media.